Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
But I want to talk today about why we're vision builders. So we have five pillars of vision builders. And the thing you got to know, vision is a possibility. In God, vision is a possibility. But for a possibility to become a reality, it requires partnership. And everything Jesus did, he did in partnership. Faith is partnership. And Jesus always, whenever there's a miracle, their faith was involved. And so it's not a possibility, isn't just going to happen without partnership, everybody. It requires the body of Christ. It requires all of us to partner with God. We are not the crowd. We are the disciples that God is calling to be a part of the answer, a part of the mission, a part of advancing the gospel right here in Sydney, in our nation and to the world. So we got five pillars, buildings, next generation, Sydney, Australia, and global. And buildings is not because we have a heart for real estate. Amen. We have a heart for people to encounter Jesus. Like Mitch said so beautifully about Charlotte's story. That's why. And then next generation. I mean, if our children don't love church, what are we doing? We're not really building the church. They're the church. And you know, in this location, since we have upgraded our facility, we have seen our kids' ministry grow by 36%. Yeah. You're all way too chill about that. Way too chill. That's amazing. I mean, kids are literally like dragging their family to church. Families that don't even go to church, their kids are like, we gotta go to church, dragging. On Easter Sunday, 47 kids, we had 200 kids, 47 gave their life to Christ on that Sunday. Come on, everybody. This is what it's about. The final three pillars, Sydney, Australia, the globe, inspire, which we're gonna be looking at today, Acts 1:8, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we are called not to stay in our own comfort, but we are called to expand. And the beautiful thing about Sydney is the ends of the earth, the whole world is here. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. But we are called to go beyond Sydney to our nation and to other parts of the world. So I want you to watch on YouTube what we're doing in the next kind of 2 to 3 years. I want you to be across that, so don't miss it. Lord, thank you for your church. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. They all said, amen. Thanks, El. You're out of here. Get out of here. Thank you. God bless you. Give it up for Eleanor. She's amazing. So I want to talk briefly about why. Why are we vision builders? And we were in a great series called Go Into All the World in the book of Luke and Acts. Anyone enjoy that? Come on, talk to me today. And I loved it. I love it. I love it because it's Luke and Acts and written by the same guy. And the best way to read Acts is actually to read Luke first. And shout out to Nathan Ross, who kind of did all the study for our preaching team and unpacked this for us so we can preach into it. And we're going to understand that when we look at Luke and Acts, it is the picture of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. Jesus was empowered with the Holy Spirit, and he gave the same Holy Spirit to the church, not a junior Jesus version. Come on, somebody. Not a watered down, not a version we can cope with. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in us, the full Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. Not a little bit, not a sprinkling, not a christening, a full baptism of the Holy Ghost for the body of Christ. And we see that in Luke 3:21. Jesus is baptized and the Spirit of God comes upon him. Luke 3:21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself began his ministry from that point. And then he was led into the wilderness. And you know who led him to the wilderness? Does everyone know who led Jesus to the wilderness? It wasn't the devil, and it was God. It was the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tested. And then in Luke 4:14, we read that Jesus returned from the desert, from the wilderness, in the power of the Spirit. Luke, when he writes the book of Luke and Acts, he talks about the Holy Spirit more than any of the other Gospels. And really, we see in Luke 4:18, the mission statement of Luke and Acts. This is the mission statement. This is Jesus's inaugural speech to launch his ministry. It says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah and is declaring the mission statement that we're going to see outworked through Luke and Acts. Now, what's amazing is that the movement that starts with Jesus goes from Jesus to the 12, to the 72, to the 120 in the upper room, to the 3,000 baptized, to the nations. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, chooses the disciples, raises them up. They then start to follow Christ, 72 follow him. He says, "Wait for power," in the upper room. The 120 waited, dwindles down to 120, and they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Fire of tongues comes upon their head, and it's such a scene that all these people gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost weekend hear a sound. They hear a sound, not just any sound. They hear the sound of people speaking in their native tongue. Acts 2, 5-11. "Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." This was a total setup. "When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, Mozibites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.'" Started in Jesus, went to the 12, went to the 72, went to the 120, and then went to 3,000. This 3,000 were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But you need to understand something. They didn't stay in Jerusalem. They didn't stay there. They left there full of the Holy Spirit, saved with the gospel, and they went to their hometown. Jesus, 12, 72, 120, 3,000, the nations. And it is continuing today. The book of Acts was never meant to finish at the 3,000. It was meant to go to every tongue, every tribe, every race, every part of this world. And it hasn't stopped. It is continuing. the Acts of the disciples are still continuing. The Acts of the apostles are still continuing. The Acts of the mighty church are still continuing in the earth. And we are a part of it. And that's why we're vision builders. Because we're not here to see it stop with our generation. See it stop here. We're believing for the glory of God to be revealed everywhere we are and everywhere we go. And the interesting thing about the book of Acts is it finishes in Acts 28. And in the Greek, the finish of the book of Acts in 28 is actually an unfinished sentence. In the Greek, it actually is like a hanging sentence. It is not conclusive. It does not bring it to an end. It actually points to the fact that this is to continue, that we are called to finish and continue in this story, that we are Acts 29 and Acts 30 and Acts 500, whatever. It is to continue, that the witness of Jesus would continue through the church. And so there's some things you need to know about the church. The church, the early church, was consistently gathering. Everybody, they gathered consistently in the temple and at the table. Read it in Acts 2:46. They gathered every day. Can you imagine? It'd be wonderful. Every day. They gathered and they worshiped God like we did here today. Wasn't that amazing? Then they were at the table eating together, growing together, reading the word together, praying together in connect groups. Then one of the other distinctives is they were serving one another. They were helping each other. They were laying their lives down for each other. It wasn't just a Sunday acquaintance thing. Can I get an amen today, everybody? Come on. It wasn't a setup where we're distant acquaintances. It was a setup where we serve one another, where we lay our lives down for each other. They were reaching the lost. They were gathering consistently. They were serving one another. They were reaching the lost. Read through the book of Acts. It just constantly points out that people were being added to their number daily, that many came to the Lord, that many disciples were being made, many people were coming to Christ. Philip, home team Philip, so full of the Holy Spirit said to him, go to this dirt road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Go there, walk there by yourself. What'd he do? He went. Because you know who really is the main character of the book of Acts? The main character of the book of Acts, everybody, is the Holy Spirit. It's not Peter. He was great. It's not even Paul. He was amazing. It's the Holy Spirit. You know who the main character is today? The Holy Spirit. He is pulling people together. He is setting things up for people to encounter Jesus. Can I get a good amen today? Remember, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a work of God. And the other thing about the early church that was very distinctive to who they were is they were radically generous. In Acts 2:45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. In Acts 4:36, we read about Barnabas. He sold a property and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas the encourager. Churches like the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians, who really were not wealthy, but were extremely generous to Paul to help fund his missionary journeys. And I want to remind you, everybody, we don't go to church. We are the church, and we gather, we reach the lost, we serve one another, and we are radically generous. Why is the church of Jesus Christ so radically generous? This is why. Because number one, we have already received so generously from God. We've already received salvation. We've received forgiveness of sin. We've received the Holy Spirit. We are children of God. How you doing today? You there? You there? We are children of this thing on. We're children of God. Children of God. Have you stopped to think about that? That's crazy. That is ridiculous. You and me, children of God. I mean, we are co-heirs with Christ. This is really bad for online right now. But I'm so sorry. I love you. Just get a real close-up of my face. I just want to get amongst you today. We are co-heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus is going to inherit, we inherit. And he is the ruler of the universe. I love this section over here. How good is this section? I love you guys. We are co-heirs with Christ. That is unbelievable. Why are we radically generous? Because God has been so radically, undeservingly generous to us. It doesn't make sense. And what else can we do but generously give our lives to God? Generously pour out what we've got to bless and to fund the kingdom and to advance the gospel. Come on, everybody. Woo! Let's have fun today. We give radically because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Paul was teaching the Ephesian elders, and he said in Acts 20, 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs 11, 24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Thank you, Eugene Peterson. We are not here to get smaller and smaller. God does want to make you larger and larger. And it is going to offend your smallness. It is going to offend your natural human instinct. Amen. It's going to offend your comfort zone. But you need it. And you need it every year. We need it every year. We need a moment where we stretch beyond our current comfort zone and allow God to enlarge our hearts, enlarge our perspectives. We allow God to do things anew and afresh in our life, and we do not use our past as a reference point for our future any longer. We allow God to enlarge us. Amen. We are radically generous because our eyes are on eternity. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, it says, do not store up, Jesus speaking, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Can I tell everybody, you can't take stuff with you. This is not about storing up another Kennard's higher storage facility. We want a Kennard's storage facility in heaven. Storing up the treasures of heaven, storing up souls, storing up kingdom impact. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart will follow your treasure. So wherever you want your heart, put your treasure there. If you want your heart with your children, put your treasure there. If you want your heart with your family, put your treasure there. If you want your heart for God, put your treasure into the things of God, everybody. Because the only thing Jesus said he would build is his church. Matthew 16, he didn't say he'd build any other club. He didn't say he'd build the RSL. I'm so sorry. He didn't say he'd build any other group or any other gathering. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We are radically generous because it's the only thing Jesus said he'd build, because our eyes are on eternity, because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because we are already so blessed. And because love gives. Worship team, I'd love you to join me. Love gives. You know that scripture, you've probably never heard it before. It'll be foreign to you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. I love Saundy, he always says this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. The love of God. God so loved the world that He gave, that He released resource. He released the greatest resource ever known to humanity or eternity, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, everybody, love gives. Love doesn't withhold. Love is generous. Love is kind. And we are called of God. One of the things you'll see about the life of Jesus is that any time He saw need, it says that He would have compassion on the need. Read all the Gospels, you'll see Jesus, a crowd walks in. There's need in the crowd. And do you know how Jesus responds? With compassion. And there is a difference between compassion and sympathy. Sympathy is a soft heart towards the need, but compassion is both a soft heart and a conviction to do something about it. And I got to tell you, this church, everybody, we are not called to be a sympathetic church. We are not sympathetic towards the needs in our city. We are not sympathetic towards the children in our city. We are not sympathetic towards the problems, towards domestic violence. We're not sympathetic about it. We're not sympathetic about the church. We're not sympathetic about every denomination. We're not here for sympathy. We're here out of compassion. We have a soft heart and the conviction to act, the conviction to step out of our comfort zone, the conviction to step out of what we know, the conviction to step out of my own world, the conviction to have self-forgetfulness, to forget about ourselves sometimes or all the time. And now don't, here's the caveat, you ready? The caveat. Yes, be healthy, have good boundaries, but please don't use that as a reason not to step out, not to act, not to take risk. We are not risk adverse. We combine faith and wisdom. The two are complementary, but we must step out in faith. We must act. We cannot watch on and think that God and the possibilities that He has for His mighty church are just going to happen. It takes partners. It takes people that are going to walk with God. And I know this room is full of mobilized, believing, generous people. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.